All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to Let's go to that censored clip that I had y'all censor, because this is one of the guys that was participating in the church raid yesterday, and he actually is a regular feature at these protests, and he was arrested on Friday during one of these protests, and then apparently was out in time to raid a church on Sunday and then make a video about how proud he was of raiding the church. He also apparently is the same guy that was harassing National Guard soldiers in D.C. a week before that. So apparently professional activist who travels around the country crossing state lines to participate in riots, which is, of course, a federal crime. Here he is bragging about it. Clip 55.
Yesterday, I went into a church with Nakima Armstrong, and I protested these white supremacists. A pastor of the church is a fucking ICE leader in the city. How can you be a fucking pastor and be a fucking ICE agent? Fuck them. They want to come after me? Fuck them. How can they live so comfortably while the fucking people from Somalia that are in this country legally, they have fucking citizenship, can't even go to their mosque and pray? How do they deserve any fucking different? Fuck those fucking Nazis. Come and get me, Pam Bondi, you fucking traitorous bitch. All power to the people.
What a lovely guy. This is your guy, liberal. Like, this is your character. That is your soul on display there. He's like transgender Rasputin. Just ugly, sunken-eyed, violent moron. Calling people praying in a church white supremacists. And daring, threatening Pam Bondi to come get him. Go get him. I mean, if you got people doing that, again, it's not, don't go get him because he said go get him. Go get him because he has repeatedly been arrested for the same crime over and over, and the local authorities are in cooperation with him and are letting him do this on purpose. So you have to go arrest him now. He's on video being arrested last Friday, and he's also on video confronting National Guard troops in D.C. A week or so before that. Clip 28, this is him being arrested on Friday. There he is, same guy, same dude being arrested, yelling about the Constitution. What is he even talking about? But Somalis who are citizens being afraid to go to their mosque? Again, these people are delusional. They live in a world of imagination. Nobody is afraid to go to their mosque. Nobody is being confronted at mosques. He thinks he's getting revenge for a crime that never happened. He's fighting people who are doing their jobs. The whole thing is insane. Let's take the audio down. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So again, a professional, you know, riot leader that routinely gets arrested, commits violence, then gets let out again. It really is insane. There's more to talk about. We'll stick to this topic for at least a little bit longer, just because of how insane this is, and how it's not like we even need it. It's not like we even need another example of like why Trump needs to go off the reservation, just do what's necessary. But like, this is just yet another major glaring example of people blatantly committing crimes, blatantly violating the law, and getting out and bragging about it and filming themselves do it, and filming them brag that nothing's going to be done to them. And really, yeah, for that reason alone, they need to be arrested, because he's deliberately trying to inspire more action like this.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. And a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. We'll finish up here with what's going on in Minneapolis and elsewhere in Minnesota. But suffice it to say, I mean, words are just not going to be enough this time. It's just not. And it's got to be the federal government to do this because the local government in Minneapolis is in a state of rebellion, is refusing to enforce laws, it is refusing to punish criminals, and it is refusing to protect people that aren't on their side. If you're a right winger and you're there, you can be the victim of assault and they will do nothing to intervene. That's illegal. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. The federal government needs to intervene. And I know that's not what we want. It's not ideal. This is what happens when you allow them to get this far down the plan, right? I mean, when you allow them to rob you like this, when you allow them to make statements like they're making, when you allow them to get away with it over and over and over and over again, eventually it gets to a point that you need to take drastic action. Can't be afraid of taking that drastic action. We also have to take that drastic action in a, you know, intelligent, thoughtful, forethinking kind of way. Because I don't want this to set a precedent that makes protesting impossible in the future. So that's why, again, we have to illustrate and reiterate over and over and over again that these are not valid protests. This is not real. The concerns they're expressing aren't real. It's just not. Like, it's one of those things where, I mean, what they're demanding is just not something that the government can even do, really. Like, what they're demanding is that the government just not enforce the laws. What? Like, no, they have to enforce the law. It's like the reason that they exist is to enforce the law. If you want to change the law, then you have to get people elected. But nobody likes your ideas, so you can't get anybody elected, so you can't change the law. So now you're just protesting in demand something that you fail to get through elections. Pam Bondi promises to prosecute Minnesota rioters as soon as she finishes releasing all those Epstein files. Yeah. And once again, we are left in the situation where what Americans want is necessary and imminently achievable and going completely ignored while the interests of Israel are served up on a platter. We'll get to that in just a second. Let's go to clip number 36 here. This is Stephen Miller talking about Minnesota fraud being the single greatest theft of tax dollars the world's ever seen. Here's Stephen Miller.
I believe that the Somali fraud operation in Minnesota is the single greatest theft of taxpayer dollars through welfare fraud in American history. We believe that we have only scratched the very top of the surface of how deep this goes. And you're familiar with all the scams with pretending that children have autism who are not in fact autistic, with pretending to enroll people in food programs when in fact nobody was ever enrolled, and engaging in massive fraud, lying and theft and grift on a scale we've never seen before in American history. The total bill, the total tab for this is going to be far beyond the numbers we've already seen reported. We believe the state government is fully complicit in this scheme, And we believe that what we are going to uncover is going to shock the American people. Look, based on the records that we already have, and this is a significant undercount, by the way, 75% of the Somali population in Minnesota is on welfare. But that's likely a significant undercount of just how much of a financial burden the Somali refugee population is imposing
on this country.
So again, it's like, so, I mean, everything about this, it's like, we brought over 100,000 Somalis. Like, what? Why? Well, then we gave them all welfare. Like, what? But why, though? And then we funded all of their childcare. And then with it's like, at every step, it's like, why are we doing this? What is the benefit? What? This seems like a scam already. And then you find out none of the kids even exist. All the money's just being stolen and sent to Mogadishu. It's like, even if everything was straight up, even if everything was legit, even if we really are just paying for 75% of the Somali community to sit on their ass while the rest of us work, that's already outrageous. That doesn't even include the fraud. The fraud is just the icing on top of the cake. None of this stuff, none of the fraud should be allowed to happen because none of these programs should exist. None of these people should be in the country. None of them should be receiving welfare. We should not be paying for Somalis to look after Somalis in America. What are we doing? Already, it's absurd on the face of it. And then you find out we're not even paying for Somalis to look after Somalis. We're paying for Somalis to scam the country. And there's not even children that they're looking after. The whole thing is beyond absurd. And as much as I will play Trump administration officials when they say stuff like that, I hope I'm not the only one that notice when he drops in little phrases like what we will find, what we will discover. And it's like, we're still investigating. So we're still investigating this, are we? You know, I don't really care about, like, let's say there's some Somali person that has like 15 different daycares that they're running. And it sounds like the government is like, oh, gee, this is going to be a big case. We're going to have to tie them to all 15 daycares and we're going to find out everybody's working. And I guess, yeah, if you want to like, you know, have one big, I don't, just charge them with one. Just what we already have is enough to put all of these people away forever. What are we doing? What are we investigating? What are we looking into? I hate this so much. It's interminable. It's been this way for a year. As of tomorrow, it will have been 1 year of begging the Trump administration to do literally anything. Literally anything. From S2_underground on X, by my count, there are at least 55 different legal groups in Minnesota alone that are providing free legal services to the groups conducting these destabilizing operations. Whenever federal agents make an arrest at a violent riot, the suspect is usually released within a few hours and provided with a wealth of free resources. Not a single one of these law offices and community centers has even been mentioned, let alone investigated, even though all of them openly confess to aiding and abetting everyone from illegal immigrants to terrorists on their own website. And this is another thing of like, I mean, I guess we have to weigh the pros and cons. The pro of having the society that we have now is that independent community groups, citizens can form lobby groups or they can form interest groups like this. And so if somebody is falsely charged, they can have some backup there to defend them. And in that way, we can resist abuses from our government. The downside of this, the entries in the con side of the pros and con list are that our country is completely dissolving and criminals run rampant and violent activists get released over and over and innocent people are injured. It's like, it's not worth it. I'm sorry, it's not worth it. Because these things, this openness of our society, these systems that we have are built for immoral and genuine and forthright people. And what we're dealing with here are a bunch of deconstructionist scumbag, civilizational arsonist, communist agitators. and we don't have to give them the same benefits that we give for decent, God-fearing Republican Americans. We just don't. It'd be nice if we could, but they've shown themselves unworthy of these things. And so, you know, we can either take it from them, or they can take everything from us. We either no longer allow people who just obviously don't have our best interests in mind. We can deprive them of the freedoms of destroying our country, or they can just be in charge forever. And they don't even pretend to give a damn about what we believe in or want to create a world that is fair and just and beneficent. They don't even pretend to want that, except for momentarily if it's useful at a certain moment. So I just don't know why we have to keep pretending like these people have, you know, the best interest in mind. I don't know why we have to pretend like what they're doing is somehow required by our Constitution. I genuinely do not think it is. I don't think we need to allow these people to operate. I certainly don't think they should be getting any money from the government, although they do. I think it's incumbent on the survival of our nation that we crack down on these groups. I'm trying to think of an example of just like, just you don't have to trust distrustful people, untrustworthy people, right? If some guy is like a career criminal, like if you're watching the local news and you see, you know, a mugshot of a guy, this man is on the run, he's known for breaking into houses and stealing things, and then you get a knock on your door and there's that man from the local news you just saw, a wanted criminal, but he's there in a plumber outfit and he says, ma'am, this is an emergency, I'm from the city, I need to get into your house to check your pipes. Are you going to let him in? Well, he said he had good intentions, though. Are you obligated to believe the lie? Are you obligated to make yourself less safe just because the alternative would be calling a liar and saying, no, you don't, no, get the hell out of here, you liar? That's how it feels to me, is you got these people that are like, we just, you know, we're very concerned about government overreach, and we're concerned about people being falsely accused and not understanding their rights. And we really are just, there's a rash of innocent people that are railroaded through the system and they don't have their best options. And in reality, they're just like, oh yeah, the guy who's obviously guilty, let's give him 100, free hours of legal services to make sure he can get out on the street and do it again. We don't have to take their lies. We don't have to pretend like we believe them. I really wish we could just take them at their word. I mean, they literally are trying to overthrow the country, and we are basically letting them. It's infuriating. Now, Pamela Bondi, the AG, allegedly we have an attorney general, and her name apparently is Pam Bondi. I don't know if that's true or not. I know there's a media personality named Pam Bondi that acts like she's in charge of the DOJ, but I'm not sure we have a DOJ anymore. I haven't seen them do anything. So, do you exist? I don't know. We don't know. Attorney General Pam Bondi, at AG Pam Bondi. I just spoke to the pastor in Minnesota whose church was targeted. Attacks against law enforcement and the intimidation of Christians are being met with the full force of federal law. Are they? If state leaders refuse to act responsibly and prevent lawlessness, what? I'm sorry, what did you just say? I'm sorry, did I enter a time warp here? If state leaders refuse to act responsibly and prevent lawlessness, this Department of Justice will remain mobilized to prosecute federal crimes and ensure the rule of law prevails? What do you mean, if? This is like she wrote a tweet saying, if protesters storm a church... No, this already happened, lady. You are currently 3 weeks into state leaders refusing to act responsibly and prevent lawlessness. We are now 3 weeks into that. What do you mean if? So insane. What do you mean it's being met with the full force of the federal law? Who has been arrested? These phrases mean nothing. They literally mean nothing. You know what would mean something? Pam Bondi came out and said, every single person who stormed that church yesterday is now in federal custody, and we will be asking the judge to give them the highest possible sentence. And then accompany the tweet with a picture of Don Lemon's mugshot. Literally everything else they say is worthless. Really less than worthless. Worthless would be they just don't say anything, and then people wouldn't be convinced to wait a little bit longer. But no, they keep tugging us along just a little bit more. Don't worry. No, we're doing it. Oh, they'll be met with the full force of federal law. Have any of them been arrested? No? So what does that mean? What does that mean, met with the full force of the federal law? Genuinely, what does that mean? In reality, it means people are charged with crimes and convicted. That's not what she said, though. She said they'll be met with the full force of federal law. What does that mean? Nothing is what it means. So, what are we going to do about that? Because I probably don't need to be the one to tell you that this is not the way it goes when it's people that are not white Christian Trump supporters. I don't think I need to tell you that when it comes to any other group of people being in any way offended, there's no investigation that occurs. There's no promises to get to the bottom of it. There's action. There's action. There was a man 3 days ago, I think, was caught on video saying the N-word. He has now been arrested. The justice system in this country, now I want to remind you, it's not illegal to call somebody the N-word. That's not actually a crime. So they charge something else, right? They'll charge disturbing the peace. Why? Because he said a word. The word is nigger, by the way. I hate saying the N-word. Feels like a cuck. And it's not illegal to say. Do you know that? But that man was arrested for it. The girl that offended a Jewish person at University of Florida, she was arrested. A man from Texas who insulted Laura Loomer was extradited from our state, sent to Florida so he could be charged under anti-Semitism laws. Now we have multiple people, one in Texas, one in Florida, being visited by local police for supposedly insulting Jewish people online. And we have Minnesota rioters storming into a church, deliberately traumatizing the people there in a city where multiple children were shot and killed in a church 6 months ago. And we get nothing but words, nothing but tweets. So they absolutely will arrest people for things that aren't crimes. But the people committing crimes are untouchable. And that already exists in this country. That's already where we are. So let's go to clip 68 here. And it's almost nice that they're like this. It's almost nice that they do this. Clip 68, Pam Bondi proudly tells the Israeli-American confab, whatever, the latest, Jewish globalist working group they're in. I mean, it's every couple of days at this point. It's pretty wild. And honestly, I think that's like part of it. I think they're deliberately trying to like piss people off because it benefits them. Let's go to clip 68 here. Pam Bondi, this is what it's like when your government actually cares about you. Let's watch.
I want to tell you a story right here in Florida. You probably heard of it. It's not a crime of great violence, but in my opinion, it's a crime of great significance. I give college presidents my personal cell phone, and I say, if you need anything, call me. My phone rang one day. I was sitting in the office, and it was the president of Florida State University. And he said, something just happened. Yeah, a young woman, a student, threw her phone, cursed, attacked. What? A young student.
Hold on, pause.
A young man.
That didn't happen. She didn't attack anybody. You say she threw her phone at him? That literally didn't happen. Okay, the event she's describing is that some guy who I'm pretty sure didn't go to the school but was wearing an IDF shirt in the university, and a girl came up to him and basically said, F you, for wearing that around. This was like in the height of the genocide, or the ceasefire had been called. And then the guy starts filming her, laughing at her. He actually posted the video with a tag that was like, you know, lol, you know, look at this girl freaking out, right? He wasn't scared. He wasn't attacked. She, you know, basically says, F you for wearing that shirt. He gets out his phone to film her because he knows that he's going to get her in trouble. And so she, like, tried to knock the phone out of his hand or something, but didn't quite. Like, it was literally nothing. Literally. Not even. Again, it's like I could show you 10,000 videos of Trump supporters getting 100 times worse. And if you ever saw the video of the kid getting a drink thrown at him in Whataburger because he was wearing a Trump hat, way worse than anything that happened to this Jewish guy who didn't go to the school. And the girl didn't even know if he was Jewish. He's just wearing an IDF shirt. Yeah, this is it. This was the horrible attack. Wheezing, right? He posts this saying, ha ha, I'm laughing at her. She says, F you. She basically tries to, like, she's mad that he's filming her, so she tries to grab the phone. He moves it out of the way. That was it. This was the event, okay? This is what she's talking about. All right, so she just lied about it. She just said something about throwing his phone or something. Didn't happen. But let's go back to her. She, again, celebrates and brags about how effectively and efficiently and quickly she responded to this demand from her real constituents. Let's watch.
Threw her phone, cursed, attacked a young student, a young man, a male student, who was playing basketball because he was wearing an IDF shirt. She was a student. He was a student. I spent the next few hours on the phone. I called my U.S. attorney. I called the state attorney. Called law enforcement. And I guess she saw it went through the system as it should. And she now is kicked out of Florida State University.
Ruined her life. Amazing. She deserves to have her life ruined. If she disagrees,
but little things are the big things.
With genocide, destroy her life.
Message that you can't behave that way anymore in our country. You can't bully other students simply because they're Jewish.
Only because
they're
white.
And you think they're better than
Christian.
Not going to happen under Donald
Trump. All right,
Trump.
We can shut up whoever this lady is. I don't know. People keep telling me she's the AG. I've yet to see evidence of it. Yeah, didn't take long. And there's so much more. By the way, they like extorted millions of dollars out of the university over this, and consider that, you know, an amazing thing. Again, is that, like, I think that girl probably has a good case that they violated the Constitution of cruel and unusual punishment. How is disliking Israel a crime worthy of being kicked out of your university? She's probably had her life destroyed. She was probably on a nice track to get a nice job with a good degree. Now she's kicked out of University of Florida. You think any other university is going to accept her? They probably destroyed her life. Why? Because she said a curse word at a Jew. Oh dear. Oh my goodness. Is Pam Bondi going to do anything for us ever? I wonder.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, yeah, the Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you, and I want to support everything you guys are doing. But the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. that I've tried every different type of green powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. We just heard Pam Bondi bragging about how quickly, efficiently, effectively, she weaponized the Justice Department against an American woman for daring to insult an Israeli Jew. And again, that's literally what we're talking about. And this is one of the tricks that's constantly employed to make things seem worse than they are. Anti-Semitism is a made-up word that describes an idea or set of ideas or a thought. It's a label you can put on pretty much anything you want. And as we know, the building blocks of the, Semitic world order that they're building right now, where again, I mean, in every country they're passing anti-Semitism laws. In every country they're, having carve-outs specifically for them. In every country in Western Europe, I'm talking Australia, New Zealand, here in America, they are working with big tech companies to where if they can't get anti-Semitism banned through law, because we have something like the First Amendment that explicitly allows for anti-Semitism, explicitly allows for it. That is freedom of conscience. That is freedom of religion, is the ability to insult a religion, right? Does everybody get this? Does everybody understand that, like, the Catholic Church rules a place and then bans criticism of the Catholic Church, that's like not a good thing, right? It's not banning other people practicing their religion. It's also banning the criticism of religions. Okay, so we don't do that. That's against the First Amendment. So they're having trouble, you know, passing that law. So instead, they are utilizing established laws in creative, that is illegal, in my opinion, ways. But they're also working with private companies, the ADL being the, you know, organizing structure that then gets big tech to do the work that the federal government is legally precluded from doing of identifying and punishing anti-Semites. The ADL giving us a nice little slideshow here. And again, and we have lots of videos from this weekend about this. I'll just show you a few. But, you know, one of the big ones was Jonathan Greenblatt, you know, expressing that the ADL somehow has access to bank accounts and, you know, back-end big tech information about people. They're creating lists that they're then giving to the FBI, which is, you know, doubly insulting because Kash Patel made a big deal in the summer of 2025 that the ADL was no longer working with the FBI. That must have been a lie. So we'll add that to the list. But let's first go to let's go to 61 first. Let's go to clip 61 first, because this weekend we had a guy arrested for saying the N-word. We had Miriam Adelson basically laughing and bragging about how she buys American politicians on stage. She then introduces Pam Bondi, who brags about using the DOJ to punish people for their words, for their thoughts, not for their behavior, not for attacks, but for their opinion on a genocidal foreign state. We have an attack on a church by rioters for the deliberate purpose of causing fear, trauma, terror in the minds of the people there, including the children. And Harmeet Dhillon is out here bragging about how they're, you know, using novel interpretations of the law to enforce anti-Semitism when they are, like I said, explicitly precluded from doing so by the Constitution. And this is why I start off by reminding you, anti-Semitism doesn't exist. First of all, it doesn't exist, literally. Then you have the IHRA definition. That's sort of the central building block of the, you know, anti-Semitic worldwide censorship grid. Because the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism defines it as criticism of Jews as a whole, individuals, things they did do, things they didn't do, and most importantly, the state of Israel. So when you hear in this clip, how they talk about the rising of anti-Semitism, understand that's not real. It's not true. To any extent that it is true, it's because the actions of Israel cause people to dislike Israel, and then criticizing Israel is interpreted as anti-Semitism. That not only expands, inflates, makes inaccurate the claims of anti-Semitism rising, but it also inspires genuine anti-Semitism, because people go, man, this foreign state over there is killing children. They're so evil and awful. And then they see the entire Jewish diaspora in America and elsewhere unified and in favor of this and silencing anybody that speaks out against it. So just understand, when they say anti-Semitism, just replace that in your own mind with the word ideas, right? Words, speech. That's what they're describing. They're describing an idea. They're describing an expression of things. So just remember that, because what you're about to hear is kind of terrifying when you understand that what they're describing is in fact speech. Every time she says anti-Semitism, just replace it with the word free speech and you get a more accurate understanding of what's actually happening here. Let's go to Harmeet Dhillon. I told you the number, right? Yeah, let's go to this one.
We're seeing a dramatic rise in anti-Semitism throughout the country. What do we do about it?
Well, Ilan, thanks for having me. I'm glad that people recognize the commitment of this president and the entire administration to fighting this evil amongst us. So I believe that quite a bit of what we're seeing online and in our universities and attacks on our houses of worship is funded by foreign governments and foreign evil actors, and that is definitely a focus of this administration to trace the money and understand who's funding it, because that's critical to stopping it. But on the law enforcement side, what we're doing is at every level, we are taking a zero tolerance approach towards anti-Semitism wherever we find it. And that includes graffiti, that includes the anti-Semitism subtle and overt on our college campuses, both vis-a-vis the hiring and retention of faculty, as well as, of course, discrimination against students. We are using existing laws in innovative ways. For example, my department brought the first FACE Act case involving a blockage of a house of worship in West Orange, New Jersey. And I have personally, thank you, I have personally visited numerous synagogues in New York, Los Angeles, and other jurisdictions where they've been attacked. And so we are devoting federal law enforcement resources to this issue. We are raising our voices loudly. We are making sure that the community feels our presence. And the Attorney General personally has gotten involved in this issue, and I have her trust in dealing with them as well. So I always welcome feedback. Yehuda has frequent feedback from me. As anyone who knows him knows, he's very, very good about reminding us about issues. But we feel the need to make all Americans feel safe, and right now there's a great need in the Jewish community. So call me, get to me. If I'm missing something, we really want to be of service.
No. It must be nice. God, can you imagine? I mean, that really must be nice, honestly. They're like so concerned. They're like so genuinely, like they really want to make sure the Jews not just are safe, but like they feel safe, that they know that like government is doing literally everything it possibly can, including stuff that it's legally not supposed to do. Like they'll go above and beyond. It doesn't matter whether it's a crime or not, they'll punish it. Right? They've already used the FACE Act to punish people blocking the houses of worship. I mean, if they don't use it now, against people that robbed the, but stormed the church in St. Paul, sort of tells you everything you need to know. Graffiti, you know, what they teach in universities. Like, do you understand what she's saying? These are not, people are not teaching university courses showing how to identify Jews by the ridges on their skull, right? It's not like there's some Nazi propaganda being, you know, taught in a course in Westland, right? You understand what she's saying. She's saying that anybody who criticizes anything about Israel or the Jewish diaspora and the control systems, or, I mean, anything really, I mean, anything can fall under this vague and ever-changing definition of anti-Semitism. So literally, she's just bragging about how the federal government is being used by a particular group of people to progress their ideas to silence others. Okay, this is wrong. This is bad. This is unacceptable. And she's sitting next to Trump's anti-Semitism envoy right next to her. We don't have to allow this to continue. We don't have to be second-class citizens in our own country. This is completely unacceptable. Again, if they were doing this for Jews and Christians, I wouldn't have a worry about it. I wouldn't care. It's the continual just example after example after example, time and time and time again, where the American people desperately want and in fact need something to be done, because our entire country, our way of life, our character is being deliberately attacked, and we get nothing. Meanwhile, Jews feel slight discomfort, and there's no barriers to what the federal government can and will do immediately. Again, good for them. I bet it feels amazing. I bet it feels really good knowing that your particular group, your particular community, and not other people, but you alone have the ability to command absolute immediate action from the federal government. It would just be nice if that applied to American people and Americans who actually genuinely want our nation to continue to exist, and our Bill of Rights to continue unmolested. Uncircumcised, one might say. But obviously, we are losing our First Amendment. It is slipping through our fingers. And again, I do think there's some trickery going on here. I won't play the video because we don't have time, but Miriam Adelson, like, over and over and over, whether it's Jonathan Greenblatt last week saying the most outrageous stuff, Miriam Adelson, it's like every week or so, you get people, these videos coming out of Jewish people, like, really saying things that they didn't used to say, admitting things they didn't used to admit. Right? You would never used to see, you know, some Jewish organization, whatever this was, the IAC, going, is it true that you buy and sell politicians? And the Jewish oligarch going, I'd rather not answer it. Thank you very much. And it's like, okay, they know how this looks, right? These people are smart. They're cunning. They know what they're doing. They know what this looks like. So why are they doing it? Is it to piss people off? Is it because you need a supply of actual offensive, violent anti-Semitism to predicate your destruction of our First Amendment on? It doesn't seem coincidental to me. So we have to, you know, remember to actually confront what we're dealing with here, which is a bunch of psychotic foreign interlopers using money to both deprive us of what we voted for, deprive us of what we need to continue to exist as a country, while demanding full service to them and their people and their compatriots, their ethnic group, their homelands, Israel. So, again, totally unacceptable, totally infuriating, and I would like to see people who continually reassert their love of the First Amendment be able to see what's happening here. The biggest threat to the First Amendment it's probably ever faced at this point, because we have, at this moment, as I speak, multiple examples of American citizens being visited by the police for what they wrote about Jewish people or Israel online. And it's unbelievable what these things are predicated on. I'll go to the Florida one that happened yesterday in just a second. And that one is, I mean, genuinely insane. Insane what people are being visits from the police over. You're not going to believe it. But just to remind you, this already happened a few months ago with a man in Texas who was visited. Let's go to clip 53 here. These are police, again, investigating, questioning an American citizen about comments he made online. Let's watch.
Try that again.
We're here because of the comments you made online.
We're here because of the comments made online about the Jewish community.
So what? I'm saying, are you? I have a freedom of speech, dude.
Yeah, no, we get that.
I get that.
We got to make sure that you're not.
Do you have a warrant?
No, that's why we're here.
Okay, you see that sign?
Yeah.
So that says no soliciting. What you're doing is basically soliciting. You understand that, right? Yeah. It means you're not welcomed here.
Okay.
It's fat idiots and plate carriers.
Did you say something mean about the Jews?
What if I did?
Please.
Get out of here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they know they got nothing to stand on. They know what they're doing is not legal. They don't have a warrant because they could never get a warrant for this. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't transmogrify this into a arrestable offense. They could very easily do something, find something that gives them probable cause. They smelled weed when they went to the house, and so they had to storm in. And the guy tried to stop them, and so then they, you know, we're in a life or death situation. I mean, this could very, very easily. I mean, you give the, you know, some cop shows up to intimidate you over your free speech and what you've written on the internet. You might be tempted to mouth off against them, right? You might be tempted to insult them, call them names. Then they might start getting aggressive with you. And then before you know it, you've got a black eye and a bloody nose and you're sitting in the back of a police cruiser being charged with resisting arrest or whatever they can bring up. The point I'm making is it's not like this is okay because the guy wasn't arrested. It's not like, oh, well, it's fine because he asked him to leave and they did. They never should have gone. The fact that they did go is a major terrifying signal that multiple cop cars are being dispatched by somebody with the authority to make the cops go investigate something that's not a crime. That's crazy. And they do it, and they look shamefaced, like they know exactly what they're doing is wrong. So that was a few months ago. And we sounded the alarm bells then. Told you then, this is something you need to be concerned about. Now it's happened again. And listen, the sheriff is going to read out the post that inspired the visit. And you are not going to believe what the post says. I'm serious. I've seen people talk about this on the internet. Nobody has talked about what it is the post said that inspired a visit from the police. So listen to this. Clip 50 here. Miami Beach Police Chief Wayne Jones defends sending detectives to a woman's house over her social media posts. Let's watch.
Picture to make sure it's you. We're not sure.
Okay.
Is that, is that your account?
I refuse to answer questions without my lawyer present. So I really don't know how to answer that question either.
Well, like I said, you're not going to jail.
This is freedom of speech. This is America, right? And you're a veteran.
And I agree with you 100%. Okay. We're just trying to see if it's you, because if we're not talking to the right person, we want to go see who the right person is.
Okay, how can I help you?
So pretty much it's just a statement that was made as far as,
verbatim, it says, the guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians tried to shut down a theater for showing a movie that hurt his feelings and refuses to stand up for the LGBTQ community in any way. Even leaves a room when they vote and on related matters. Wants you to know that you are all welcome. Clown face. 3 days ago.
Zero, no? Everyone's here?
I'm not going to answer whether that's me or not.
Okay.
The concerning part, and not concerning for the person who's posting it, well, we're just trying to prevent somebody else getting agitated or agreeing with the statement. We're not saying it's true or not.
Understood.
That guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians, that can probably incite somebody to do something radical. That's all we're here to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to get your side. If it was you that posted that, I would think to refrain from posting things like that, because that could get something...
I appreciate your concern. I appreciate you coming out here.
Okay.
That's it?
That is it. Okay. I'm going to maintain my amendment rights to not answer the question about whether or not that's right. I hope
that's
understandable.
Thank you for your time. All right. We appreciate it.
Thank you as well. You as well. Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, good for her. What we just saw was more Nazi-like than anything that ICE has ever done. Where the leftists that are infuriated... I mean, I'm sure there are some. This is something we can probably come together on. So he says, it's not what you said. It's that we're concerned that what you said might inspire violence, is what he's saying. Because remember, it's not illegal to say speech, but violence is illegal. And if your speech leads to violence, well, you know, we got to stop that process from occurring. What was the thing he said might inspire people to want to commit violence? She refers, I'm sure she's referring to either Randy Feiner or somebody else, as the guy who calls for the killing of Palestinian children. So you've got some politician in Florida who calls for the death of Palestinian kids. That's fine. But if you say that he calls for the death of Palestinian kids, then you might be inspiring violence against him. The guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians tried to shut down a theater. You remember that? There was a documentary about Gaza, a documentary about Israel's war crimes, and the mayor went in and tried to force the theater. I think he did force the theater to shut down. Okay, what? Is that not also illegal? But why are local politicians allowed to dictate what American citizens can play on their screens or can watch in a movie theater? Do you understand what I mean when I'm saying, like, It is genuinely insane that this person got a visit from the police in America because she pointed out that politicians call for the death of Palestinians. Okay, Randy Fine writes a tweet that says, let them starve, right? Calls for the death of all Palestinians. And then this woman says, hey, that guy just called for the death of all Palestinians. And then the police visit her and say, do you understand how this is inflammatory language? He has to be allowed to call for the death of all Palestinians. You can't acknowledge that fact. It's illegal for you to point out that he is calling for the death of all Palestinians. So good for her, not even acknowledging that it was her tweet, her post on Facebook. But honestly, she has a lawsuit on it. She should have a lawsuit on her hands. That is intimidation. It doesn't matter that she wasn't arrested. None of that matters. The authorities in Florida, the Jewish authorities in Florida, are sending police to intimidate people who post things against Israel or against them personally. Movie theater in Miami Beach faces eviction after showing documentary No Other Land. Yeah, so a movie theater in Miami Beach plays a documentary that had won an Academy Award following the displacement of Palestinian communities in the West Bank, and then the mayor evicted the theater and made the theater shut down. We have these petty tyrants everywhere, and now they're in positions of power in the federal government. And no matter where they are, they're using whatever authority they have to intimidate and silence critics of them. That is a existential threat to the First Amendment and has to be confronted at all costs. And at all costs, you understand me? There's not much more important in this country than the First Amendment. Certainly, the ability for Israel to act with impunity and not even be so much as criticized doesn't arise to the level of importance as freedom of speech, okay? So, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. I got a lot of stuff I wasn't able to cover today, but that really, to me, these two things are the most important things going on right now. The simultaneous establishment of a Jewish-Israeli control grid over our ability to speak through big tech and the government working hand-in-hand to silence people even though their language is legal, combined with the inability or unwillingness of the Trump administration to lift a single finger to help their constituents who are being assaulted, attacked constantly in a state of insurrection. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison today. Maybe we can keep free speech alive for a little bit longer, long enough to win.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time, and we've done quite a few things here. And I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a Beggin' right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago. And, well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. But you need something to take care of yourself or your family and protect you. I think this will do it. It's an important remake. Updated World War II trench knife. Double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pin-up girl there right there on it. Mm-hmm. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get is some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles and skull crusher, then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air in our mission. Mm-hmm. I call it a Kaiser blade. And it's a limited edition right now. Mm-hmm. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy. What Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with. But, limited edition, almost sold out. I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.